Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the Corlin Economics Report. You know, Jim McKinney is my co-host on the show, provides an awful lot of information based on his past experience working in Army intelligence. But you know, Jimmy, I really think we ought to change the show from the Corlin Economics Report to the Political Report. I mean, we don't talk economics per se, but there's such a close correlation between finance and politics that I think there is a nice fit there. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think KER politics is sells a lot. It's a good idea because yeah. They are. I think you're right. You know, economics, our economic situation is the direct result of our political decisions and you political bet. Actions. So they're integrated. And you have to understand the politics in order to think about economics and to plan, especially for businesses to plan and consider what the future is like.
Yeah, well, you really do. There's no question about it. Well, let's give it some thought. What do you guys think? Would KER politics sound better to you than KER economics? I personally am kind of comfortable with politics. Speaking of politics, one of the major networks did a feature story on TikTok, which is a website that has millions and millions of followers, happens to be owned by a company that is controlled by the Chinese government. Jimmy, we should talk about TikTok. The network claimed that TikTok is actually a pretty dangerous website. You want to talk about that?
Sure. So TikTok has a U.S. subsidiary. It actually is a Chinese company. I think it's called Douyin in China. And basically they provide a very popular platform to put videos out with little, you know, discussions. And I think it's, you know, it has exploded in success, especially with the youth.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of politicians are using it. A lot of politicians used it in this last campaign. But what the real problem is with TikTok and what people are concerned about in privacy and national security concerns. So any corporation that actually works in China, that operates in China, is controlled by China, must provide all their data to the Chinese government.
You bet.
And so what TikTok does is that you have to put your user data in, and then it actually has a tremendous number of algorithms and programs that actually evaluate and collect that data. Mm. And they build profiles on individuals and, you know, basically also use their algorithms to shape information, you know, what is popular, what's not, and shape ideas and visions. Now, you know, there's a lot of tech companies that are doing this. But the problem is the Chinese government is collecting this data, and the Chinese government has spent a tremendous amount of money on developing cyber warfare capabilities and collection on intelligence. And a lot of people don't realize how important it is for intelligence organizations to be able to identify individuals or to be able to, you know, break down society and take a good look at it when they're doing war planning. And that's exactly what the Chinese have done. It's what every country does. The United States takes a very hard look at a lot of information and tries to collect as much as it can in order to evaluate threats and how to influence. Mm-hmm. Here's the big difference. You know, I mean, we're losing it in the United States, and they're certainly losing it in Canada. But there is some level of accountability to the voter, to the individual, some level. We're losing it quickly. In China, there is no accountability. The government runs everything, and there's no questioning their authority. So the principles with TikTok, when you know, say you like certain types of things, that would be able to designate you, and then the government would have the data, the Chinese government would have the data to be able to target you with either advertising, but not just advertising, with information that would either to shape you, and especially for young minds. And that's the problem, you know, the youth that are using it and that are spending all their time on it, and they're doing crazy things on it often. Sometimes they get hurt by doing it, but it becomes
very
popular.
How do they get hurt, Jimmy?
I mean, they actually do stupid things like jumping off roofs to get a TikTok video, or you know, ride their bike into the over a jump or something like that. And so there are quite a few instances like that, and you know, that's always the case. But when it's popular to do that, you get you get a lot of people that do these TikTok challenges. Some of them have been, taking drugs. Some of them have been, putting just crazy different events that are somewhat risky. Everybody's got their individual choice, but when a authoritarian government has control of information that's that powerful and pulls so much data in on an individual, I think that's an important risk to understand.
Yeah. Well, what I think is interesting is during the last election, which was very, very important, just last September, for example, a lot of my friends claimed that their voting in that particular election was meaningfully swayed by some of the TikTok material. And maybe that's the reason that somehow the Democrats, surprisingly, I guess I have to say, didn't lose as bad as they did.
Well, there's a former Google engineer, and he's done quite a bit of reporting, and he has an organization that actually looks at how much influence that some of these tech companies have. And there's estimates that Facebook and TikTok, Instagram, and some of these other social media sites can actually shift 10 to 15% of the population.
That is amazing. I've heard that, and I find that to be really scary, because the concept of one vote, one person, and the concept of democracy is really, really in danger when something like that exists, Jim.
Well, and there's an agenda behind these apps and certainly these companies. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, he invested a tremendous amount in influencing the outcome of the 2020 election,
right,
presidential election. Over $400 million. That's a lot of money. George Soros donated a tremendous amount of money. I think over $130 million. I believe there's some estimates in this last midterm election. FTX, the second largest donor to the Democratic Party, a lot of money. And of course, Republican companies and Republican billionaires, they do the same thing.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, you get that much money involved, they're shaping and influencing outcomes, but the tech companies have the media reach. They have the outreach because so many people are connected to these programs and these apps, these applications.
It's interesting. I want to talk about cyber warfare in the next segment also, by the way, just because I find the subject to be fascinating. And I know our bloggers find it to be interesting also, because we get an awful lot of comments on that. We've got about 100 people on the blog, by the way, just for listener information. And these people have opinions that are very, very interesting. And they're all in black and white in writing on our website. And we are known for absolutely zero censorship. People can talk about whatever they want to. If they want to know more about cyber warfare, we will talk about that both on the program and on our daily editorials and also on the blog. Cyber warfare has gotten to be very, very important in the sense that you can basically harm people and they don't even know it. Jimmy, we got to take a real quick break here, but what I would like to do is in the next segment, let's just talk a little bit about cyber warfare, the ifs, ands, and buts, okay?
You bet.
Be right back. Stick around.